a multicultural crossroads. In the post-war period, all roads led to Paris.
There are few cities like it where, throughout the 20th century, you have African Americans hanging out with Haitians, who are friends with people from Senegal. It's really unique.
Paris was a revolutionary meeting point.
Artists and intellectuals from Africa, the Caribbean, and the Americas were exploring black identity in the stimulating scene of the French capital.
We need negritude. We need creoleness. But we also need everything else.
Josiah Woodson was already in one of the world's jazz capitals when he made the move to Paris, putting what he learned in New York into practice here in France.
Paris isn't New York, but it ain't nothing either. It's a lot. And there's a long tradition, not only James Baldwin, but Miles Davis and other African-American artists in general, but specifically trumpet players and specifically jazz musicians came here. So I knew I was putting one foot into a very large footprint, a large beaten path that had been forged by the people that came before me.
The award-winning trumpet player has been exploring new musical styles since he crossed the Atlantic 12 years ago, tapping into a diverse scene that's broadened his horizons.
With the African diaspora community here in Paris, the connection to Africa, Benin, Togo, Senegal, and those Mali and the Congo and those places is very, very strong, much stronger than we feel in the States. And the circle that I kind of got with is more the Guadeloupéen, Martinique, les Antilles. And they have a very, very cool way of interpreting things. And I find myself being heavily influenced by that.
A musical melting pot that echoes the Parisian jazz scene a century ago. Today, the Belle Blomée Cabaret hosts a wide variety of styles.
Un homme des sables, des plaines sans arbres, s'en va de son pays.
But when it opened in 1924, Afro-Caribbean music was all the rage on the left bank.
There was a large Caribbean community in this neighborhood. A lot of them worked at the Citroën factory, and they used to come here a lot. So at the start, it was more of a Caribbean bar.
Eventually, it became known as the Belle Nègre.
Belle Nègre was never its real name. The poet Robert Desnos gave it that nickname. He said there's a Negro dance hall in Paris, and the name Belle Nègre just stuck.
In the 1920s and 30s, Paris became a mecca for musicians from all over the world, in particular African-American performers like Josephine Baker, Louis Armstrong, and Duke Ellington, who were embraced by French audiences.
The major difference between jazz in the United States and jazz in France was that very early on, there was a tight circle of jazz enthusiasts in France who said, jazz is not just Negro music, as it was called at the time. It's not just entertainment, it's a legitimate and separate art form. It's different to classical music and it has its own rules. So these jazz musicians were welcomed by that community as true artists, not as simple entertainers. They had the sort of respect and reception that comes with being an artist.
Avec tout ce que ça comporte, de effectivement d'accueil, de respect.
The rise of jazz meant that black artists like Miles Davis, for example, were becoming an integral part of the city's cultural fabric.
It's clear that those who were defending jazz were also defending African Americans. And it certainly would have led to a certain consciousness about that question.
While many of these African-American musicians found great success in Paris, the black artists, politicians and writers from France's overseas colonies were not always so visible. It's something Kivi Duna is trying to change.
Gather round.
He started giving black Paris walking tours in 2013 to shine a light on this lesser-known aspect of the city's history. He kicks off with a best-selling author who was laid to rest in the Pantheon.
So we don't use this word anymore, but at the time in the 19th century, the word they used to describe Alexandre Dumas was quadroon. What does quadroon mean? It means one quarter black. And here we have this extraordinarily racist caricature of him, and you're thinking, oh no, poor Dumas. But he had an incredible life. He was celebrated. He was well-connected politically. He had plenty of money. But it's also true that throughout his life, he was always being asked about his physical appearance, about his family, his origins. In other words, about his race.
100 years later, racism was one of the major reasons that another writer fled the US and came to Paris.
Perhaps one of the greatest American writers of the 20th century, James Baldwin. You can see the church in Saint-Germain-des-Prés right here. Baldwin was 24 years old. He'd not yet published anything. He was just a young journalist from Harlem who wanted to write his first novel, but said later that the climate of racism in the US at the time meant he didn't have the peace of mind to be creative, to write.
The biggest ideological and poetic reason for me to come to Paris, or what I fulfill being here, is really walking in the footsteps of James Baldwin. That's somebody that I love to listen to. I love hearing his theories. I love hearing his stories. And those interviews that he gave about his time here, those are the things that really remarked on me. And some people can say, oh, well, when you get here as an African-American male, certainly back in the past, but today as well, it can be a place where you can finally be human. And that is true up to a certain point. We find slightly less harassment by the police compared to being in the United States. The challenges still exist here, and that's something that James Baldwin was not hesitant to point out as well.
Ce qui me tracasse des fois, c'est que, au fond, de l'homme soi-disant blanc, il y a une espèce de aveuglement vis-à-vis de l'homme soi-disant noir. Et ça implique des choses très graves pour nous tous. Alors, attendez,
James Baldwin. Baldwin was indeed an outspoken critic of racism wherever he encountered it, well aware of his relatively privileged status as a black American when compared with the black people he met from the French colonial empire.
It was 1948 when Miles Davis and James Baldwin arrived in France, just 3 years after the end of the war. And it was America that got us out of a sticky situation, if you will. So their American passports got them a warm welcome. But James Baldwin was always very honest when it came to France's colonial empire. He called them your slaves.
Building on the foundations laid by writer Paulette Nardal and Aimé Césaire's treatise on negritude, a pan-African conscience was emerging.
Here's a photo that was taken inside the Sorbonne in September 1956, when the first International Congress of Black Writers and Artists was organized by the Présence Africaine Bookshop. They invited the greatest intellectuals from all over the world to talk about decolonization, culture, to talk about Africa and the future.
The Paris that we live in, which is a global city, well, it's a shame that not all Parisians are aware of how that came about. They don't know where the people they encounter in the street and those they live with come from.
Enlightening Parisians and others is the aim of the Paris Noir exhibition at the Pompidou Centre. It presents a panorama of work by black artists in the second part of the 20th century, a moment of great social and political change, with many imagining a post-colonial future in the territories of the so-called Black Atlantic, a legacy of slavery and colonization.
So this piece was born of a real need to create an encounter with Africa, this Black Atlantic. The word black is not just the colour of one's skin. It's a country, a world. It's a way of being.
Valérie John was born in Martinique, but came to study in Paris in the early 80s.
For me, it really was the cradle of art. In Martinique, if you wanted to go into higher education, especially in art, you had to leave the island.
Many of these pieces are on show for the first time in Paris, telling stories of a quest for identity and occasionally independence.
Around May 68, there was a Martinican artist, Coco René Corail, who depicted that in a painting, Le Souci. He painted himself incarcerated in the Fresnes prison for his pro-independence stance. It's quite a sad self-portrait, but the artist transcends that with his masterful composition.
Métissage, or being mixed race, is part of Valérie's identity and of her creative process.
I make these objects by weaving in bits of paper. I call them my book of secrets.
For her, making art is a form of resistance.
They didn't send us to those islands to live. We were meant to die there, really. And we survived. We made something out of it in the end.
Acquiring and conserving this work is the next step for the Pompidou Centre, which has established a fund to complete their collection of modern art.
Thanks to this fund, we've been able to add this painting by Mildred Thompson to the collection. And we've also been able to acquire work by African-American artists, work from France's overseas territories, which represented a huge gap in French collections more generally, and then the work of black artists who were born in France and who'd been completely left out of art history.
The show's part of a wider cultural shift, bringing another perspective to France's complex colonial and post-colonial history through the eyes of these pioneering artists during their time in the City of Lights.